Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Wolf Hunts by C.J. Cook, narrated by Sienna Francis and Connor Brown. 1. Callie. It was strange. I could remember some parts of that night so clearly, but looking back it felt like just a dream. So impossible that I wished it wasn't real. The red and blue flashing lights had lit up the street with eerie clarity. And then they just stopped, almost like they didn't want to alert anyone else to the tragedy. There was no crowd of gawking neighbours listening in for the next round of neighbourhood gossip. No, it was just three knocks on the door. One to break my heart, one to destroy my dreams, and another to irrevocably change my life forever. I could still remember clearly opening the door. It was nearly 11 p.m, and there was no reason for anyone to be knocking at that time. Once it was open, I saw the two police officers' faces, and I just knew. It's strange. People talk about heartbreak, but it isn't until you feel it that you realize it's true. The crushing pressure on your chest as you try to pull in enough air, the noise around you drowned out by the pounding blood rushing through your head. And then you feel it in the middle of your chest. The tearing, the physical rip as your heart fragments inside of you and shatters. My parents had gone out for a date night, leaving me to babysit my 5-year-old brother. I was 20 and getting ready to head to university in a few months. I'd had some time off to travel and had only recently returned home. They hadn't expected another child so late in life, and they rarely got to do anything as a couple. When I came home from backpacking, they'd been so happy to see me, but I could see the strain on their faces. They needed a break, and I was only too happy to give them as much of a break as I could before I went off again. I adored my little brother, even if he could be annoying at times. The officers said it was a drunk driver who had forced their car off the road, killing them both on impact. Apparently, my parents hadn't suffered. I don't know why they felt the need to tell me that. They were gone. That was all I could process at that moment. Someone would need to look at the accident scene when it was safe enough to look around. My father had quick reactions, whether he was driving or not. He was a shifter, after all. I needed to make sure it was an accident, and nothing else. Life wasn't safe for us. My father was a wolf shifter, and my mother was a witch. I'm a hybrid, a never-before-seen-born female wolf shifter, with a side sprinkling of magic. When I was born, my parents were shocked, to say the least. Never before had a female wolf been born. Female wolves had to be turned, and they resulted in some horror movie version of a werewolf. They walked on two legs and took on some lupine features, but never truly became a wolf. You had to be born a shifter to be able to shift into your animal entirely. Shifters were born with a dual soul. You couldn't inherit one through the bite. When I had started to show signs of magic, my parents were even more shocked. So far, my little brother appeared to be only a wolf, but time would tell on that. My father left his pack when he met my mother, because they fell in love. They would never have accepted her in the pack. The wolf hunts had been going on for 50 years. When the witches discovered they could extract the magic from a shifter to increase their own, even if temporarily, they didn't even hesitate. And so the wolf hunts began. But a shifter couldn't survive without their magic. To be drained was certain death. My brother and I had lived our lives running from both sides, and my parents were convinced that the wolves would never accept us, and the witches would just drain us. From what I'd seen of our world, I was inclined to believe they were right. If someone had found my parents together, obviously mated, they would have killed them on sight. I wore a talisman which suppressed my witch and wolf scent. I still had access to both sides, but anyone coming across me wouldn't know I was anything other than an ordinary human. The police officers said what they needed to say and made the necessary somber faces before leaving. It was back to work as normal for them. But for me, my entire world was starting to implode. Quickly, I ran up to Jacob's room, wrapped him up in his blankets, and bundled him into my car. My parents had trained me on what to do if this sort of situation ever occurred, and had made sure there was a plan. Leaving my cell phone in the kitchen, I grabbed our go bags out of the hallway closet. I was to go to one of their closest friends, Sean Phillips. He would know what to do from there. I took one last look around the house. The living room where we had sat every year at Christmas, opening our presents. The kitchen where we had eaten breakfast nearly every morning. Slowly, I pulled my resolve around me as I pushed the reality of the situation down into a place where I would have to deal with it later. Because now I had to be strong. I had to be strong for Jacob. I pulled the front door shut on the house, closed on my old life, got into my car and drove away. It was time to run. 2. Callie. 6 weeks later. I hitched Jacob up onto my hip so that his sleeping head lay on my shoulder and walked toward the luggage carousel. Thankfully, he'd slept through most of the last flight, and I had been able to sit back and relax. It had been a long 6 weeks. My parents had made this plan for us long ago. As soon as Sean saw me at his front door, his face fell. There was only one reason why I would be there. He pulled me into his arms and held me while I fell apart. It was the only time I'd allowed myself to cry. After I pulled myself together, he patted me on the head and silently got to work, liquidating my parents' estate in England. They already had another home set up in Arbington, Maine. It was some kind of cabin they'd bought a few years ago under an offshore corporation they'd formed explicitly for that purpose. It was untraceable, and it was the escape plan if we were ever discovered. At first, I didn't want to go. It didn't seem right to take Jacob away from everything that he had ever known. It had been an accident, after all. Sean had gone to check the accident site and said he didn't see any signs of foul play, but he was getting a copy of the police report just in case. He was still convinced that this was the best idea, though. Sean and my parents were involved in things that skirted on the edge of illegal in our society. In fact, screw it, they were totally illegal. When you helped people run from the council, who were supposed to look after them, they tended to put laws in place to stop you from doing it. Shifter society was just as corrupt as human society, though, and it was only people like Sean and my parents that made it survivable for some of our kind. In the end, we'd gotten on the flight. I'd just have to worry later down the line if I was making the right decision. I was too exhausted to argue anymore. The flight had been pretty dead, thankfully. We had flown from Heathrow to Washington, D.C., and then on to Portland, where we had just landed. We'd been travelling for nearly 12 hours, and Jacob had passed out as soon as we were seated for the second flight. He was taking everything pretty well, but I think that was just because he didn't realise what was going on. He was only 5, after all. Most of our things had been abandoned at the house. Apparently, there were supplies in our new home, but I would no doubt have to replace a lot of our belongings. I couldn't think about that right now, though. I was exhausted. I just needed to get our one checked bag, pick up the rental car and get us to the house so we could crash. I was running on fumes at the moment, but I needed to get Jacob somewhere safe before I could relax. My wolf was spinning out of control. She hated the enclosed space of the airplane and the upheaval of leaving our home, our den, behind. She was distressed enough at the loss of my parents, our pack. I'd need to go for a run soon, but I didn't have the luxury of doing that in the near future. I gently laid Jacob down on a bench next to the luggage conveyor and slid my backpack under his head. He was so small. He was being so brave. I was so proud of him. He looked so much like my mother, with his mousy brown hair and his big blue eyes. He was cute as a button, and he used that to get away with murder. I taught him well, I thought with a wry smile.
Jacob, honey, I need you to wake up for me, okay? We need to pick up our bag and get the car. You can have another sleep while we drive to the house.
I gently shook his shoulder, and his eyes fluttered open as he grumbled beneath his breath. That he got from our father.
Hey there, little guy. You have a good sleep?
I'm still tired,
he said, sitting up and rubbing at his eyes.
I know,
I told him, running my hand through his unruly hair. He was going to need a haircut soon.
We're nearly there.
"Could I have some juice?"
he asked. I rummaged in the backpack and pulled out a drink for him.
"Can you stay here while I look for our bag?" I asked him.
He nodded his little head and started to look around as he drank his fill. He'd been so quiet since it had all happened. He'd withdrawn into himself and barely spoke at all. I was out of my depth, but I hoped that we would find a way to deal with our loss together once we got settled. When I looked back at the conveyor, I saw it had started to go round, and there were a few bags on there already. The plane had been pretty empty, so there shouldn't be that many to come out. We only had to wait for our one suitcase. I had gotten a few bits for Jacob and I while we were laying low at Sean's. There seemed little point in getting things we would then have to pay to ship here. Besides, it was bad enough having to lug this one case here. Thankfully, it quickly came into sight, and I grabbed it from the conveyor. Now we just had to find the car rental place. So close to being able to sleep. The woman at the rental place was potentially some kind of angel. She had set us up with a car seat for Jacob, whom she was completely smitten with, and arranged to have the car collected from our new home in 2 days. Because my parents had the house fully set up, there was already a vehicle there. I was only hiring the car because I didn't want to take a taxi. The rental was already equipped with a sat-nav, and she had one of the employees set it up for us with our destination, while she helped me get the car seat fitted. We only had a half-an-hour drive, and then we would be at the house, where there were beds and sleep. I needed so much sleep. Jacob fell asleep before I even had the engine of the car turned on. The sun was just starting to set when we pulled out of the rental's car park, and by the time we arrived at the house, it was pitch black. Thank God for sat-nav. When we first pulled up, I was convinced we were in the wrong place. The cabin that I had thought we were going to was absolutely enormous. I had to give it to my parents. They had picked a beautiful home for us, even if they would never get to live here with us. There was a beautiful two-story picture window on the front of the house. The front door was off to one side, and there was a matching window on the opposite side of the house, creating a symmetrical look to the front. There were two dormer windows in the roof, covered by a light layer of snow. I drove up the driveway and circled the two-car garage next to the house. There was some kind of blue truck already parked outside, so I pulled up next to it. Thankfully, Jacob was still fast asleep in the back seat. Leaving the engine running to keep the car warm, I got out to investigate. I still wasn't convinced I was in the right place, and I didn't want to wake him up just yet. The house's front door opened as I got out of the car, and a man who looked to be in his early 30s stepped out.
"Calliope?"
he asked, walking over and offering me his hand. I took it with a sigh of relief. "Oh, thank God, I was convinced I was in the wrong place. And please call me Callie," I said. He chuckled as he shook my hand.
"Long journey?"
"Like you wouldn't believe."
"Let me help you get your bags into the house,"
he offered as he stepped towards the car.
"My wife came by earlier and opened up the house for you. She made up the bedrooms with fresh sheets and dropped a few things off in the kitchen to get you started."
"Thanks. I really appreciate it," I said, popping the trunk open. "Sleep is like the only thing I can think about at the minute."
"I'm James, by the way,"
he said, grabbing the suitcase and looking into the back seat.
"You want to take the bag and I can grab the little one?"
he asked, spying Jacob asleep in the back seat. "No, it's okay. He's only twice as heavy as he looks," I laughed. Leaning in, I turned the car engine off and then gently unclipped Jacob from his seat and lifted him out. He had gone full-on dead weight and snuggled into me with a sleepy grumble. James led the way into the house, carrying the suitcase. I realized that someone had salted the pathway for us, and the thoughtfulness of these people nearly brought tears to my eyes. James and his wife had been the caretakers for the house, keeping it clean and making sure that it stayed in good condition. Good news for me, because I was barely an adult, and there was no way I would know how to fix up a house if anything went wrong. We stepped through the front door, straight into the open-plan living room, dining room, and kitchen. It was an enormous space. The living room portion was set in front of the giant picture window at the front of the house. As we walked to the back of the house where the kitchen was, James set the suitcase down and led me over to a small archway on the other side of the dining area. There were three doors, and he opened the one on the right, revealing a bedroom. My parents had obviously set this one up for Jacob. It was definitely a little boy's room. The room's walls were a deep blue, and there was a green metal-framed bed made up with blue polka-dot sheets. A big cream rug covered the floor with large yellow circles on it, and there was a big colourful world map on the wall. Under the window was a little desk, and a dresser sat at the end of the bed. There looked to be a built-in closet as well. It was the perfect room for Jacob, and I felt a lump form in my throat when I realised that my parents had taken the time to make this into a home for us without us even knowing. James pulled the covers back on the bed for me, and I gently laid Jacob down, took off his shoes and tucked him in. He was only wearing joggers and a shirt. He could sleep in those. We quietly retreated out of the room, and I released the breath that I didn't realise I was holding. James chuckled at me.
"That's a cute boy you've got there."
I smiled at him in relief. "Jacob's my brother," I told him.
"Phew, I thought you were a bit young to have one that age,"
he said, looking a bit uncomfortable. "Yeah, don't worry. I expect everyone will make the same mistake." I waved him off. "Can I get you a drink or something?" I asked him.
"Nah, I'll get out of here and let you get some sleep. Are your parents joining you soon?"
he conversationally asked as he zipped his coat up, pulling some gloves out his pockets. "No, it's just the two of us. My parents passed away a couple of months ago," I told him quietly. It was hard to say out loud, but I would have to get used to it. I had meant it before when I said that everyone would be making the same mistake. I had talked this through with Sean before we left. The most believable story was to stick to the truth. Our parents had died in a car accident, and we had moved here to make things a bit easier for Jacob. He had offered to come out with us, to help get us settled, but I didn't want to impose on him any further. He had his own life back in England, and if I was going to stand any chance of doing this, I needed just to jump straight in and do it.
"I'm sorry to hear that," he said.
He genuinely did look sorry.
"My wife, Mary, and I run the local store. If you need anything, come by and ask for one of us. We're a fairly small town here in Arbington, but we look after our own. That includes you two now as well."
He smiled. It was a nice sentiment, and I hoped that Jacob and I could see this place as home in time. We would still need to be careful, but Jacob and I were used to small-town life. Kirkby Malzard, where we had both grown up, was only a small village in Yorkshire. My parents were convinced that it was easier to hide in small towns. It was the big cities where everyone thought you would go to hide. "Thank you. I'll probably see you tomorrow in that case when we come by to stock up." I walked James to the door and we said our goodbyes. He seemed nice enough, and I would have to thank his wife for opening up the house for us. As soon as I closed the front door, I looked around myself, suddenly feeling a little lost. The house truly was beautiful. The living room had a massive TV which would make Jacob immensely happy. I would have to see about getting cable installed. That was American TV, right? I had no idea. I needed to make a list or something, but my brain felt like it was fast shutting down from lack of sleep. I wandered into the kitchen and checked the fridge. Mary, who was now my most favourite person in the world, had set us up with milk, cheese, bread, eggs, bacon and orange juice. A quick look in the cupboards and I discovered coffee but no tea bags. Definitely going to need tea bags, but at least we had something for breakfast in the morning. Now all I needed to do was find a bedroom. I checked the other two doors where Jacob's bedroom was and found a bathroom and what looked like a guest bedroom. There was another archway on the opposite side of the open-plan living area, and I grabbed the suitcase and wandered through it. I was faced with another two-door situation and what looked like a back door. I tried the door to the left and found it led to two dark staircases, one going up to the attic area and one going down to the basement. I quickly closed that door, not feeling up to exploring that far just yet. Plus, it was a bit creepy. The other door opened to reveal the master bedroom. When I walked through the door, I felt the tears creep into my eyes. Obviously, this was the master suite because I could see a walk-in closet and an ensuite bathroom through an open door. But it had been set up nearly exactly like my room at home, in soft greys. I had always thought that my parents' room was garish with its bright yellow walls, but my mother liked it, and my father didn't care what colour the walls were. The tears fell slowly down my cheeks when I realised they had never intended to come here with us. My parents had set this house up for us if anything ever happened to them. My wolf howled mournfully in the back of my mind, her own grief amplifying mine. I dropped the case next to the door, kicked off my shoes, and fell onto the bed. Burrowing my face into the pillow, I cried softly until exhaustion finally settled over me and dragged me into sleep. 3. Callie. I woke up the next day with a small foot jammed into the small of my back. Rolling over, I saw two little feet on the bed next to me. Lifting my head, I peered down the bed and saw Jacob asleep, sprawled out starfish style, the wrong way round and snoring softly. I hadn't closed the curtains when I fell into bed last night, and sunlight was streaming through the window. When I checked my watch, I was pleased to see that it was 9 in the morning. Hopefully we would adapt to the time difference reasonably quickly. I grabbed the foot that was slowly making its way up to my face and started to tickle it. Jacob squealed and giggled. "Morning," I laughed. He really did have an infectious giggle, even if he was a bed hog. "You want some breakfast?" I asked him, sitting up. Jacob just nodded and sat up. "How about you go get washed up and I'll cook breakfast for us?" I offered. Jacob slid out of bed without a word and wandered out of the room. I sighed and got up myself. Realizing that all our stuff was still in the case, I heaved it onto the bed and opened it. Grabbing Jacob's toiletries bag, I followed him out of the room and found him sitting on the sofa. I passed him the bag and ruffled his hair. He just got up and wandered back in the direction of his room and bathroom, and my heart broke as I watched him. I didn't know what to do to help him. Maybe it was the loss of pack feeling that was hurting him so much, but he was still young and hadn't come into his wolf yet. Sean suggested giving him time, but I didn't know how much time was too much before I needed to think about getting him someone to talk to. Would that even be possible? We had so much to hide. How could Jacob openly talk to someone about his problems when he couldn't even tell them the whole truth? I wandered into the kitchen and quickly made us scrambled eggs with bacon. I sorted myself a cup of coffee and Jacob a glass of orange juice when he sat down. He ate quickly, and I was glad that he was at least hungry. I was thinking we could head into town after breakfast, pick up some more groceries and see what else there is. Jacob just nodded at me. "Little guy, I'm worried. I know you're hurting because I'm hurting as well. How can I help you?" Jacob looked at me with his big blue eyes. "I miss them," he whispered. "I know. I miss them too. You know they set up this house for us. I think Mum did a good job in your room, don't you?" He just nodded sadly in reply. "How about we see if we can find some toys in town for you to fill that new room with?" I suggested. That immediately brightened him up, just like I knew it would. I'd make this house as much of a home for him as I could, and hopefully that would help him a bit. "I'll grab you some clothes and then let's get ready and go out, okay?" Jacob jumped off his chair and ran towards his room. "Brush your teeth!" I shouted after him. I quickly put our dishes in the dishwasher, set out some clothes for Jacob, and then jumped into the shower. There was something about a hot shower that always made me feel a bit better. I quickly got ready and found Jacob sitting on the sofa again, fully dressed and watching some kind of cartoons on TV. Apparently we either had cable or we didn't need it. While he was preoccupied, I rummaged through the kitchen. I had seen a folder on the kitchen counter earlier, which had details of all the utilities and house information in it, so I set it aside to deal with later. Next to it had been the keys for the house and the car, and a note from Mary. "Calliope, I hope everything is in order with the house. If you need anything, feel free to stop by the store any time. James has filled the truck up with gas for you. He says it's running fine, but you might want to get it checked over at the garage, as it's been parked for a while. We've also stocked you up with some salt for the driveway if you need it. It's in the garage with the snow shovel. Hopefully we'll see you tomorrow. Mary." I smiled when I read it. Mary and James were both very thoughtful. Grabbing the boarding card printout and pen out of my bag, I started to make a list on the back of it of what we would need at the store. I wasn't sure how big it was, so I didn't go too crazy. I had looked up Arbington on Google, and it seemed like a pretty small town. There was a bigger supermarket in the next town over if we needed it, and Portland was the closest city. We were probably going to need to shop online for a lot of stuff to get Jacob set up and settled in, though, Thank God for Amazon. With Jacob starting kindergarten in a couple of days, he'd need school supplies too. When my list was made, I grabbed the truck keys off the kitchen counter and joined Jacob in the living room, where he was still watching some silly cartoon and laughing away. It was nice to see him laugh again. I'm going to back the truck out of the garage and get it warmed up. Why don't you stay here where it's warm? Jacob smiled up at me happily and nodded. Even though he still didn't say anything, my heart nearly stopped at seeing him act a bit more like his old self. I slipped on my coat and grabbed my bag before backing the monstrosity that was apparently a truck out of the garage. Putting the heat on full blast, I jumped out and took another look at it. It was truly enormous. I'd never driven anything so big in my life. It was black, very shiny, and looked pretty new. All I could tell you was that it was a Mercedes, had four doors and one of those flatbed bits at the back. I was used to driving a Renault Clio. I wasn't sure if I liked it, but it would have to do. I'd bet anything that my dad had picked it out. After managing to drag Jacob away from the TV, we drove into town and pulled up outside the store. Thankfully, they had a small car park next to it, because there was no way I was going to try to parallel park that thing. I walked into the store with a sullen Jacob, who had realized that shopping was not as fun as cartoons. However, when he saw the rack of toys, he soon brightened up and skipped right over. The woman behind the checkout counter gave me a friendly smile and waved me over. After telling Jacob where I was going, I walked over to join her. "You must be Callie," she said, coming around the checkout and pulling me into a hug. I awkwardly hugged her back, doing one of those weird back-pat things. "You are just like my James described, except far more beautiful," she said, holding me out at arm's length to inspect me. "I'm Mary, by the way," she told me with a wink. "Thanks. I showered and everything this morning." I laughed, and she giggled along with me. "We've just come to check out the town and get some shopping done. We didn't bring much of anything with us, so Jacob is having some pretty big toy withdrawals." We both looked over at him, and he was creating a stack of toys beside him that I would inevitably let him have. Thankfully, it seemed to be limited to Lego, cars, and jigsaw puzzles. "James said you only had one bag. Are you having the rest of your things shipped?" she said, cocking her head to the side. "No, it seemed easier to just sort it out at this end rather than ship everything. We came here for a fresh start after..." I trailed off, and she laid her hand on my shoulder. "James did fill me in. I'm sorry for your loss." She slipped her arm around my shoulders and gave me a side hug before letting me go. "I just want to get Jacob settled. He's not doing so well," I said.
"Is he going to Pine Elementary? They have an incredible school counselor. I'm sure he would be able to give you some advice."
"Yeah, he starts in a few days. I actually need to stop by there and finish up registering him and get the school supplies lists and stuff." I laughed as Jacob tried to carry his haul over to us by himself.
"You look like you've got yourself pretty much sorted out there, Spud."
I smiled at him, and it turned into a grin when he smiled back at me. "Is it okay if we leave these here while we go and grab some groceries?" I asked Mary.
"Of course, honey. I promise to keep them super safe for you," she said, smiling down at Jacob.
Jacob actually said, "Thank you," to her, and then we grabbed a cart and made pretty quick work of going around the store. It wasn't that big, but it had everything we needed. I planned on filling the fridge and freezer with enough to make a couple of meals for us that were big enough to create leftovers. The only thing that it was missing were my precious Yorkshire tea bags. I'd have to make do with the crappy Liptons that they had until I could find some way to get my hands on them. The worst news, though, I wasn't old enough to buy alcohol here. That sucked more than I thought it would. When we made it back to the checkout, James had joined Mary and was checking out the Lego that Jacob had picked out. Mary quickly rang up our groceries for us and got them bagged up.
"This is some pretty sweet Lego you've got here, kid,"
James said to Jacob, who grinned and nodded at him.
"If you want, you can leave Jacob here with us while you go and run your errands at the school and the like," Mary offered.
"That's very nice, but I couldn't put you out like that," I said awkwardly.
"It's no bother,"
James answered happily. Then he knelt and spoke with Jacob.
"Mary never lets me play with Lego anymore," he said, rolling his eyes.
Jacob smiled shyly at him, whispering, "You can share mine if you like." Tears came to my eyes, and Mary gave me a knowing smile as James took Jacob over to a small table set up next to the checkout, and they started...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?